few years ago, as many of you already probably know, that the district magistrate's office was on Main Street, Roaring Spring. And it was right next to the fire hall, and people were in and out of there on a regular basis, maybe fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know, but to come to that lower court system. And then we know that lower court system handles certain offenses to our community at a certain level. Once it gets above a level, then the district courts are no longer able to handle the situation, and then it moves on up and through the court system. Really, it's the bottom, so to speak. It's a high level, so don't take it lightly. But it's the stepping stone, or the first level of our court system. And the district magistrate would come in on a regular basis, and he had many things to do, or she has many things to do, whoever the district magistrate is. But it used to be there, right on the corner, and we live on Walnut Street, and so on the corner of Lower and Main Street, in that building, was the district court. Well, it didn't take me long to figure out that Thursdays were a hot day. Thursdays were a day when the parking lot would fill up, unfortunately, maybe, fill up with cars. And there was a few benches outside. If you've ever been there, don't raise your hand if you've been there, but if you've ever been there and you go inside, there's not a whole lot of room inside, and who really wants to wait inside anyway? So when the weather was good, most people would wait outside of the building. Along the front of the building was several benches almost stretching the full length of the building. And hanging outside their cars or whatever, they were outside. So one guy and I got this idea that we were going to go hang out with them and see how life was going in that situation, because those situations can get pretty tense. So we filled up a cooler of water and ice and soda on the back of the truck, and we just kind of drove to the parking lot, and we opened up the back of the truck and the cooler, and we started giving out water and soda to people. They thought we were hair nuts at first, but that's all right. Hey, they're in court. I'm not. I'm giving out soda, right? So just deal with me, right? So it was a very interesting time, and it was a very enlightening time and a very engaging time with people. We did give a fair amount of soda and water out to people. Most everybody would take a soda or a water of some sort, but many people would have conversation. We would have conversation with them. Some people didn't want to have conversation. They were kind of, maybe it was too tense. Or whatever, and maybe they just weren't conversationalists, I don't know. But other people were willing to have a conversation. And many questions would come up during those conversations. And most of them were why do bad things happen to people? In type of questions, why would I think God really cares about me type questions. And it was an exhilarating time to be able to interact with people. But I can remember one day, and I was on the end of the building toward Lower Street. There was a person, a lady and another person sitting on the end of the bench, right on the end of the building. And I was just handing out some water to them. And the lady said to me, "I have a question for you." And I said, "Well, that's cool. What is your question?" This was her question to me. "What is the legal way to dispose of a Bible?" And I found that very interesting, that question, what is the legal way? I don't know, So we started to have a conversation about the legal way to dispose of a Bible. And she had apparently had a dog that had found this Bible in her home and had chewed it up, and she couldn't read it anymore. I don't know if she read it to begin with, but she couldn't read it anymore, and she wanted to know the legal way. And what her idea was is, "I'm going to slip it in somebody's coffin when I go to a viewing." And I said, "Well, I don't know if that's okay, but that's kind of weird. I don't know if I would do that." And she said, "Well, what is the legal way to dispose of a Bible?" And I said, "Just throw it in the trash." She almost lost herself when I said that. I said, "Just throw it in the trash." And she said, "I would never, ever, ever throw it in the trash." And I said, why wouldn't you just throw it in the trash? And she said this, that would be disrespecting it. And the word disrespected means, if respect means to hold in high regard, guess what disrespect means? Not to hold in high regard. And if I was going to throw the Bible in the trash, I don't feel her statement was, I don't feel that that's respecting or holding the Bible in high regard. Well, that we had a conversation that ensued on that fact of disrespecting the Bible. And I asked her, what are other ways that we disrespect the Bible? Or what are other ways that maybe we don't hold the Bible in the highest regard? And there was a silence. And on the other end of the bench, there was a guy sitting 10 feet away. He wasn't any part of this conversation. He had his head down and he had his hands in his head. And he said this, we don't read it. It was nothing to do with this conversation. He had nothing. He was not in this conversation, but he was hearing what was going on. And his view was, we disrespect, we don't hold the Bible in high regard because we don't read it. Well, that produced a kind of a moment of unsettled silence for a while, as the whole bench was full, as the whole bench had become part of the conversation. The whole bench had been talking, really had been talking about disrespecting or not holding the Bible in high regard. The whole bench had heard the pastor say, just throw it in the trash. The whole bench had heard. But one guy on the other end, never looking up, never taking his hands out of his face, he simply said, we don't hold it in high regard when we don't read it. We disrespect it when we do not read it. That moment of silence seemed to last forever, which caused more silence, which caused more conversation. Since that day, I have pondered that answer many, 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 many times. And I have come to the conclusion that we do disrespect the Bible by not reading it. But I have a feeling we don't hold the Bible in high regard even when we read it. Do we really know what it is? Do we want, no, we would not throw it in the trash, but we would read it just as a book? We would read it just as a simple story? That we would read it as something, just a fairy tale? That we would read it just as history? That we wouldn't hold it in high regard? That we would read it and not let it filtrate into us? We've been on this journey for the more, or I've been on, some of us have been on, you have been on, we have all been on this journey for the more. I want more. I want more. In Galatians, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set me free. I want more freedom. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Exclamation point. I want more. I want more of that newness and more of that freshness. He says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full or abundant life. I want more of that fullness. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I want more. I want to be a Psalm 23:5 guy. Hallelujah. I want more. I want more freedom. I want more freshness. I want more fullness, and I want more food. Amen. As we address this in wanting more, we have been addressing things that keep us from the more. We have talked about ignorance, and we have talked about believing lies. Philippians 2:16 says this, hold tightly to the word of God. Hold tightly to the word of life. What if the way we hold the word affects our more level? What if the way we read the word? What if the way we hold the word? What if the way we engage in the word of God affects our more level? We're trying to fill that with something else only maybe the Word of God can do. What if that's true? What if the way we hold the Word affects our more level? Hold tightly, Paul says to the Philippians. Hold tightly to the Word of life. Hold it. Embrace it. Pull it in. It's not just a history book. It is the very words of God. And hold tightly? How do you hold the word? How are you holding the word? How tightly are we holding the word? What are we doing when we approach the word of God? How do we approach it? How do we deal with it? How do we embrace it? How do we allow it to do what it's called to do? It is the very words of God. Psalm 119, 129 and following says this: your statutes are your word. Your words are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. The wonder of God's word. Do we approach the word with wonder? Do we approach the word with amazement and admiration and awe? Do we approach the word with wow? Do we approach the word of God with this this wonder factor, this wow factor, this oh, I am amazed factor? Maybe we need to start our Bible reading each day or each morning with, God, wow me. Let me see. No, that's a bad advice. Let me see the wow that's already there. Because there's wow in the Scripture. There's wonder in the Scripture. There's amazement in the Scripture. And we read it just as words on a page. Can we see the wonder that's in the Word of God? Do we expect the wow when we read the Word? Look at this in Job 3:34. This was homework a few weeks ago. It is unthinkable that God would do wrong, that the Almighty would pervert justice. Who appointed him to over the earth? No one. Who put him in charge of the whole world? No one. He's God. Look what it says. If it is his intention and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all mankind would perish together. Woo! That's a wow factor. If God says, boom, it's over, everybody at one time goes flat on the ground, gone, returned to dust. Whether you believe in God or not, it's God who believes in you, and it's God who's holding you here, and it's God who's keeping you alive. You can kick at him, and you can throw stuff at him, and you can curse at him, and you can claim you're an atheist. God believes in you. It is because God is here that you're here. Anywhere in this earth, that's a wow factor.
Come on now.
That's a wow. Holy smokes, literally. Can we see the Word of God with the wows that are in it? We need to stop just reading it as words and reading it as wows. And I could go and I could spend the rest of our time, I could spend all day just covering wow verses. But when God says no breath, no spirit, everybody goes at once. That's how powerful our God is. Who put him in charge of the earth? No one. How dare I think God gets it wrong? How dare do I think God perverts what is fair? When I read verses like that, all of a sudden they get this holy awe of God. And I know God can handle my complaints, and God handles my whining, and God, I can say anything to God. But I'll tell you what, when I read verses like that, I come into the very presence of God with a little different attitude. Not shaking my finger at him, because I've been wowed by that verse. We need to be wowed by the Word of God. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. What if we read the Word with the intention to do everything that it says? The Word with intent. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to read the Word of God today, and I'm going to do everything it tells me to do. What if we read the Word of God like that? What if we read it when it says love? We will love with a relentless and unexplainable love. We will love no matter what our day is, no matter who comes across our day, no matter how ugly or easy our day is. We will love because the Word of God says love. And if somebody goes from your friend to your enemy, love your friend and your enemy. What if we just went to the Word and say, I'm going to obey when it says that needs to be confessed in your life, and we just get down with our souls wide open and just confess and let Him to forgive us? What if we read Scripture that says, go and we go? What if we read Scripture and it says to come and we come? What if we read Scripture and it says to hang on and we hang on? What if we read Scripture that says give and we give and do and we do and stop and we stop and start and we start and turn and we turn and rest and we rest and run without hesitation? Instantly we begin to do it. Can you imagine if the Word of God, if we approach the Word of God like that? I have a feeling the way I approach the Word of God affects my more level. Because I have a feeling that the table prepared before you in the presence of your enemy has the Word on it. I bought 3 Bibles this week and I was almost ashamed that they only cost $90 for all 3 of them. I was like, I'm going to give you more than that. Do you know what it is? And you're charging me only $30? I have a trouble going into Ollie's and not buying the whole rack. You mean to tell me you're selling the Word of God for $3? Do you know what this is? I have a feeling that this country and these churches, we spend more time arguing about the translation than we do obeying the Word of God. And being wowed by the Word of God. Verse 130 says this, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The unfolding or the entrance, the word is entrance, entering into the Word of God. We just don't read the Word, but what if we actually entered into the Word of God? What if we went in the closet and there was a door into this world called the Word, and we go in there and experience the Word? Oh, we just read it. The dude on the end of the bench was right. We disrespect it by not reading it, but we disrespect it by reading it. And not being wowed by it. And not obeying it. And not letting it, and not entering it, not letting it unfold its light. The unfolding of the Word gives light. And not allowing it to give light. Just open up the Bible. We don't just open up the Bible. We enter the Bible. This week when you open up the Word or you get it on Facebook or you get it on text or you got a Bible app or you get one of those cool pictures that I get and people put with a verse on them, you don't need a cool picture behind a verse. They're cool and keep posting them, but you don't need a cool picture because the Word blows the picture out of the water. You don't enhance the Word by putting a picture behind it. I got no problem. Please do that. I think it's awesome. But the Word of God is powerful. Enter into the Word of God. Let it unfold its light to you. Not just opening the Bible, but entering and walking in the Word's lighted path. Following the light from one truth to another, to another, to another. Receiving a divine understanding that even a simple guy can understand and gain understanding. When I was in school, they gave me a test and say, we're going to check you out here, see if you're smart enough for the gifted program. I said, number one, I don't want to be in a gifted program. So how do I fail this test? Because gifted programs seems to cost more in time, and I got hunting to do. If gifted program does not include hunting, count me out. But people with a certain, and I didn't make it, just so you know, I want to make a public statement. Your pastor is not smart enough to be gifted. And I thank the Lord that he doesn't only look for the gifted. He looks for the simple. That's me. And he said, I'll take the simple and I'll give them understanding. Just enter the word. Just let me invite you into the word, and you can walk in the word's lighted path. In Psalm 37, it says this, trust in the Lord and do good. And then the next verse says, delight yourself in the Lord. And the next verse says, commit your ways to the Lord. And it goes on deeper and deeper. The light says, just trust God. And then all of a sudden, enjoy your time with God. And all of a sudden, now walk with God. One light to another light to another light. Deeper and deeper and deeper. The light will invite you deeper and deeper and deeper. But we got to stop just reading the Word. We got to start entering the Word and being wowed by it. And not looking for verses to justify something we do or don't want to do, but looking at verses and saying, I'm doing that no matter what. 31 says this, 131, I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Do we crave the Word of God? Many people, and I've seen signs and even t-shirts that says, don't talk to me before I've had my coffee. Can you imagine? Don't talk to me until I've had the Word of God. Because I'm just not right in the head without the Word. You got to stop reading and enter in and crave it. You know the trouble with caffeine, you get used to it, then you get a headache when you don't have it. So I hear. Don't you wish you got a headache noticeable when you didn't have the Word? But the problem is the headache is like a year down the road. And it's a life ache. Can we crave the Word of God? Can we go to it and enter into it? Can we go to it with the expectation of doing everything that it tells us to do? Can we go to it with this craving, this longing for it? My mouth pants for the Word of God. Look at Psalm 107 says, He turned the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. Perhaps way too often we are living lives as a desert rather than a flowing spring. Just so you know, we got enough dry people around here. Flowing springs. And God does that when we come to the Word and we crave the Word and we enter into the Word. He turns us. Just so you know, he's talking about people in that verse. Psalm 132 says this, turn to me and have mercy on me as you always do those who love your name. I think all of a sudden the psalmist starts to realize that the Word is the very breath of God. It is the very breath of God. God, I know I'm not here and I don't deserve this. I'm asking for mercy. Because I want your Word. I want your breath. God, have mercy on me. The word is the breath of God, as you always do unto those who love your name. When we engage, as we engage the word of God, God is breathing on us. Let me make a statement. Next slide. If we do not have a longing for the word, we do not have a longing for God. Because the word is the very breath of God. I wonder if we went to the word realizing that it's the very breath of God blowing back into our spirits and blowing back into our lives and blowing back into our souls and our hearts and our mind. It's the breath of God. CPR, baby, from God. Certified. Whoo. If we do not have a longing for the word, we do not have a longing for God. 133 says this, direct my footsteps according to your word, that no sin rule over me. Direct and guide and place and establish my footsteps. Direct and guide and place and establish according to your word my steps, my steps placed in and by your word. Let me step into your word and let that word make my steps step out into this world. Direct my steps, God, in your word and from your word. Direct my steps, steps directed by God. Steps directed by the word of God will never lead you to sin. Steps that are directed by the word of God will never, it'll lead you maybe through the valley of temptation, but it'll never say sin. It'll never say don't do it God's way. God will never say lie. He just won't. And you can try to justify it, and so can I, 1,000 ways, and we can give it all kinds of colors of lies that you want. But God will never put your step in a lie. That's your choice and my choice. So God, I wonder if we went to the word of God and say, God, place my steps in this word, and then let this word place my steps in this world. We got too many people reading the Bible and walking in the world. We need people that walk in the word and are placed in the world. Psalm 134 says this, redeem me from the oppression of men that I may obey your precepts or your words or your word. Redeem me. You know what that means? That means he's in something he shouldn't be in. And I need to be delivered from this. I need to be delivered. And as I read the word, I find out that what I'm in is not lining up with the word. And I know, God, you got to get me out of this, God. You got to get me out of this, God. You got to get me out of this, God. And I've shared the story before, but it's one thing I wanted to get out of one time is when I got sprayed by a skunk. I don't know about you, but I wanted to get out of that. Cheryl wouldn't let me in the house. I was down to my underwear in the yard. And Cheryl threw my pillow out the window. I was glad we still lived in Tioga County. I was like, honey, I can't sleep out here. Get that off of you. Don't you wish that we had that feeling when God revealed sin to us? Oh, God, redeem me from this oppression that's on me. The stink that is on me. We don't need people who justify what they do. We need people who are cleansed from what they've done. And the beautiful part of it is God will redeem you from everything that you've ever done. And you'll be free to obey the word. Powerful. The dude on the end of the bench was right. We disrespect it by not reading it. And we disrespect it by reading it as a book and not as the breath of God. 135 says this: make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. Light me up, God. That's what he's saying there. God, light me up, God.
Come on now.
Light me up, God. Make your face shine upon me. God, I'm receiving your breath. Make your face shine up. Light me up, God. And teach me your decrees. Know what he's saying there? Light me up and teach me, God. I don't know what other kind of students you have, but you got one. Right now, I'm not worried about my husband or my wife. I'm not worried about my kids. I'm not worried about the community. I'm not worried about this world, God. Not right now. You have at least an audience of one. I want to be taught by you, God. Light me up. Psalm 136 says this: streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Do we weep when the word is not obeyed? In our lives and in the lives of our people, our families, in our community, in our country, the word is the very breath of God. You know what's wrong with my life, or you know what's wrong with our country, is we're not walking in the word of God. And I wonder if I can go to the word and just weep over my own sin, or the sin of my family, or the sin of my country. And just begin to weep and asking God to help us obey. Help us to walk in the light. And not just, oh, you got to do this. And forget. I don't want picket signs. I want people who are walking in the word. And let me make this statement. Frankly, I don't care if any other religious document is ever obeyed in this country or not, because they do not hold a candle to the word of God. When the word is not held tightly, we will gasp for life. I am certain that the more will be experienced as we walk in wonder of the word. Are you with me this morning? I am certain that the more will be experienced as we walk in the wonder of the word, as we walk in the word with the intention to obey, as we walk in the word's lighted path, as we crave the word of God. You want more? Go to the word with the attitude of more. With the attitude of wonder, with the attitude of obedience, with the attitude I'm walking in the word, with the craving for the word of God. The word is the very breath of God, live breathing into you, the steps placed in and by the word of God, and I'll be set free so I can obey more. So let me make a point here. You are not set free so you can do whatever you want with that freedom. God sets you free so you can have more of him.
Amen.
Not so you can run willy-nilly in this world. You're free to obey. Light me up, God, and I will spend time weeping, because I know that when the word is not held tightly, we will gasp for life. This country, our families are gasping for life. And God's ready to breathe it into us through his word. You want more? Hold tightly to the word of God. Stand with me today. Father, I thank you for these moments. I thank you for Psalm 119, 129 through 136. That's a long reference. Thank you for those 8 verses that help me approach the word and not just not read it, but help me read it as it is. Help me read it and be drawn into it and receive the more the more fullness, the more freshness, the more freedom, and the more food that you have for us. Father, I thank you. Father, we're going to go out of this room, and we're going to go maybe to a picnic today or tomorrow. Father, we're going to hang out. We're going to have some fireworks, perhaps. We're going to be around people that we maybe normally aren't around. Lord, light us up so the fireworks aren't the brightest thing at the picnic, but the men and women of God are. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome day.